For the sixth day running, protests have continued throughout the Muslim world against the amateur video produced in the US that mocks Islam and the Prophet Muhammad. In Pakistan, the government has banned access to the website YouTube to stop more people viewing the video. In Afghanistan, around 1,000 people burned cars and tyres and shot at police. Robin Wright is a joint fellow at the US Institute of Peace at the Woodrow Wilson Center for International Scholars. She's also the author of Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World. She's had a long career covering the Middle East as a journalist, and she joins us now from Washington, D.C. Robin, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Nice to be with you.
There seems to be no stopping these protests, which are now entering their sixth day. What's your analysis of what we're really seeing across the Muslim world?
Well, I think there's an intersection of different causes. One is obviously this very offensive film, which has ignited Muslim sensibilities and sensitivities in the same way that a movie that came out of the Islamic world about Jesus or Moses engaged in the same kind of acts would be offensive to Christians and Jews. But it also is in context of political transitions in the region, where there are a lot of different forces jockeying for political power, wanting to prove that they are players, and among them are the Salafis, who are ultra-conservatives, were involved in the first protest at the American Embassy last week, which started it all, and who are a brand new political force. They only became active last year. And then you have the broader context of this history of tensions between the Islamic world and the West, whether it's over heavy-handed Western influence or support for dictators or the history of colonial rule dating back to Napoleon's invasion of Egypt, that all of these things come together and lead to, you know, one small spark can cause a larger fire.
Yes. I mean, anyone who's seen the film knows that it's amateur, it's reckless. As my son said, it looks like it was made by a 12-year-old. So, I mean, it's not hard to grasp. It's not representative of anything like a mainstream view of Islam. So I think for people looking on from the West, it's that there seems to be so little pausing to think about, you know, proportions here.
Well, what we have to understand is that the protests so far, even when they have, as they've gained momentum in new areas of the world, are still comparatively small. In context of the hundreds of thousands who got out and protested, for example, in Egypt against the rule of Hosni Mubarak, there were 2,000 involved in the protest in front of the American Embassy last week. And so we need to put some sense of proportion on what's going on. Unfortunately, it is in this media age, one small picture can seem to overwhelm what's really, in the rest of the country, a quite peaceful setting. And it distorts in some ways what's really happening.
Well, so
how many people are involved.
Yes, I understand what you say. I wonder how spontaneous you think these protests are. Is it a sort of loosely coordinated international campaign, or is it that one group feels they have to be seen to respond so they don't look, as Jim Muir just said to us in his report from Lebanon, as if they're apathetic? You feel like saying, well, oh for some apathy? Or is there somebody really ramping it up quite carefully?
No, my sense is that this is the kind of vogue thing to do right now, and a lot of people who may not have seen the film, or even for those who have, it's word of mouth, this is offensive, and it's obviously going to ignite passions. Now, there are those like Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah in Lebanon, who may exploit this moment. I covered the Salman Rushdie affair, the author of The Satanic Verses, which was very controversial in the Islamic world a generation ago. And I once asked Ayatollah Khomeini's son if anyone in the family had ever read the book, and he said no. But it was Ayatollah Khomeini's fatwa against Salman Rushdie that led to a decade of tensions between Iran and the West, particularly Britain. And it's these cultural flashpoints that are often exploited by political leaders for their own gain, to draw attention to their cause, their party, and their power.
I think it's also the public nature of Islam as a religion, because there really isn't a privatised Islam the way there is a lot of the other great religions, and some of the language that's used. I think there's deep, deep shock in Australia over some of the public language that calling for beheadings. In a place like Australia, that is just so shocking, you can't believe it. Now, is this something that surprises you, the way in which it plays out in a very public way, almost proving the gulf between the world of parts of Islam and the West?
Well, clearly there are extraordinary differences, but remember there are also many similarities too, that Muslims consider themselves part of a single religious tradition that begins with Judaism and extends through Christianity. The only woman mentioned in the Quran by name is the Virgin Mary. There, and Jesus is mentioned as well, that we in the West often look at Muslims as with greater difference than they look at us. And this is one of the great tragedies. On the issue of a privatized Islam, I'm not sure I would agree with that. There are so many commonalities in terms of the values of the faith. They have been unfortunately distorted horribly by jihadists, by extremists, by ultra-conservatives, and this is where the real gap is. But slipshod language.
Yes, but you actually do say, just so we can possibly end on a constructive note, I think you believe there is a stunning new trend emerging within the Muslim world, which is the rejection. It's slow and it's evolving in a way that we don't necessarily see, but that there actually is a rejection of Islamic extremists. It certainly doesn't appear to be on display right now.
I actually do think we've reached an historic juncture when the vast majority of Muslims, particularly in the Arab world right now, are rejecting dictators, looking for democratic values, even if in an Islamic context. We may not always like who they elect democratically, but they are looking for a sense of participation and control over their destiny, in which the majority of people have a say in their life, and are not turning to the idea of beheadings and killing Westerners as the means of expressing themselves, whether it's politically or personally. It is a very slow transition, and that is what's going to be the agony of it all.
And where do we look for that, so that people can see some hope to bridge this perceived gap at the moment? Where are you looking?
Well, I think the culture of change is as important as the politics of change. And whether it is in the playwrights who are writing plays with the word jihad in it, in an attempt to reclaim jihad and talk about what it really, really meant originally, and that was to be a good Muslim, to engage in charity and being a good neighbor, and the good, clean values of the faith, whether it is the young rappers who are giving voice against extremists, whether it's the new Muslim comedians who are challenging and telling jokes against extremists. In many ways, they are a more potent weapon against extremism than anything that the West can do. And this is what's playing out as well throughout the Islamic world, and that's this conflict among Muslims themselves. What is it that we are as a people? What are our ideas? What are our value systems, and how do we display that and prove it in the 21st century? And yes, there are continue to be, whether it's Al-Qaeda cells or ultra-conservatives trying to take the faith back to the 7th century, but the vast majority of Muslims are saying, we get what's happening elsewhere in the world and we want to be part of it.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
Robin Wright, the author of a new book called Rock the Casbah, Rage and Rebellion Across the Islamic World, published by Simon & Schuster, speaking with us there from Washington, D.C. at 6:24.